This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'm Josh Richer, and joined today with me always is Jeff Machado.
Well, I wouldn't say always.
No, I mean, you've always been there.
Well, there's been some Richer and the Mailman's without me, which is odd because I'm the mailman, but...
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, there was somebody or some people masquerading as the mailman when we both know that nobody's delivered mail besides me with regards to this Place to Be Nation website. And the lawsuit's pending. The lawsuit's pending on that one.
I swear to God, I think I've been hacked, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think somebody has hacked my Skype account, my Place to Be Nation account, my everything. That's... who do I contact? Do you think Brad is the one to?
Well, that's really cute, except for all of these episodes are public.
Ah.
They're still available. It's not like they were taken down or anything.
No. But the thing is, this thing that you're talking about, I mean, these fraudulent episodes, I think we should really have that shit sent out because do you think they were they doing an, that's insane. Like some sort of impression of me?
Well, I don't know because I didn't listen to any of them. So, first of all, it's been a while.
No, it has been a while. It's been a long while since the last episode.
Did we even finish Breaking Bad? Did we do a podcast about the final episode of Breaking Bad?
We did, I can say. It was the highest rated podcast on Place to Be Nation ever. Since the site has been launched, yeah, it was really big, yeah. No, we had a good time with that. We had a good time. We did a bunch after too, if you remember correctly.
I've sort of lost concept of time since then.
Yeah, a lot has happened actually. Well, so people know this is all about. Originally, we were doing a podcast about Breaking Bad, but now, Better Call Saul has kind of sprung up. Out of nowhere, completely one day it's like there is Better Call Saul, you know, and I'm like, oh shit, we should watch that.
Haven't they been teasing the series for like a year?
What?
I think so. I think they've been teasing it for a while. When's the last time you and I spoke?
Over the internet or in person? Or
do you realize that I have a beard?
I do because we're friends on Facebook.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, no, we are. So I look on the Twitters every now and then. I don't go on there like weeks at a time anymore. But when I go on, I go to your Twitter page to see what you've been all about. So
do I sound like I have a beard? Do I sound different?
Well, I did think when I picked up, I'm like, he sounds beardy. He sounds like slightly beardy. But are you talking what are we talking to? We're not talking to Mike Dennett beard, right?
Well, I'll take a couple years to get to that level, but it's definitely at the level where I'm always stroking it. Like right now, I am massaging at least a couple inches of hair beneath my chin. It makes me feel really smart.
Holy shit! That is awesome! I am jealous, man. I stroke my chin constantly, but it really looks like I'm just like – it looks completely gross when I do that. Like I'm just stroking flesh. People are just seeing me rub like the ball of my chin and like scrunch my face up. You can do that, but nobody sees under your face, like your face muscles. So they're just seeing like awesome, like conical beard, like pulling down, shaping it. That's hats off to you. Rats off to you, actually.
Yeah, it basically puts me on a whole different level of being a mailman. Because a mailman with a beard, with gray in it, is pretty much the most sexually desirable person in the country at this point.
Well, yeah, that's science, clearly. So, I mean, you won't, you know, anyone that refutes that is just a fucking, you know, like, weird Luddite who doesn't want to accept technology and shit. You know, the technology to grow the beard like we do now. I'm assuming you're using steroids to inject into the beard to, like, really...
Yeah, mostly. A lot of drugs involved.
A little bit of Extends. Gotta mix that in there. That, like, helps with the... I'm not saying you need Extends. I'm not saying you need that.
Well, everybody should use it. That's like, you know, you don't need to eat Cheerios or you don't need to take vitamins, but it helps.
Well, it's... Yeah. I think helps is a pretty weak way of putting that, actually.
There's always a little bit more, you know? Yeah. You can always get a little bigger. And I hate to harp on this point, but we both know Andy Flanagan is not stroking a beard.
So no, he isn't.
He's like the opposite of a mailman.
But you know... What I'm saying is
you guys could have at least changed the name. You could have changed the name, like Richard and the computer programmer.
Richard
and the economics expert. Something like that.
Are you aware of the amount of time and effort it makes to build a brand, Jeff?
No.
That's right.
I'm not.
That's very true. Well,
I feel like we watched a show and we had some fun online, and all of a sudden it like blew up to like otherworldly proportions.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not watching the Oscars tonight because Richard and the Mailman have a new podcast, and you know, I turned to the bottle. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, we all do.
Yeah.
We all do when that happens. I mean, I turn to the bottles. I turn to the bottles of. I'm trying to think of one of the weird things I use that would just make me sound like an asshole. But,
Klonopin?
No, I don't, not like drugs. I'm not talking drugs. I don't use drugs, Jeff. No, I'm talking about like coconut oil, you know, like, artisanal sauerkraut.
I thought coconut oil was only used by black people for their skin.
Oh, no, that's cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter.
Yeah, no, it's the name's cocoa, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's cocoa. It's in the name.
Same. It sounds similar, though.
But anyway, so we actually, you know, we haven't talked in a while. Your beard excites me. I lost track of time, so this is just, you know, spiraling down a road where we just talk about...
That's how good of a beard it is. It excites people without them even seeing it.
I'm like picturing it and I just keep getting lost. Like I'm like looking at like a wall in my apartment and it's just white. And I'm just like picturing your face. Can you send a picture of your beard to me?
Yes.
That'd be great.
When the podcast is posted, can my beard be like do people click on an image? I don't know how it works.
I'll actually go
to the website.
I'll be the judge of that. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm jealous of your beard, but you know, also know I have a lot of experience with beards, in my social circle, you know, and I got to make sure.
I have a lot of experience with beards, so
yeah. You know, I know a lot of people with beards.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
What sense?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I have a beard like a woman who's like a beard of in my life.
I could have interpreted several different ways.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, wow, I keep thinking, so what has happened in your life between Breaking Bad and Saul?
Well,
a lot.
Yeah, not really.
Well, you've had two New England sports teams win championships.
Yes. I mean, if we wanted to do a show about that, I guess we could.
We couldn't. It would be you telling me about the Patriots season.
Yeah.
It would literally be me going like, and go on, and then Tom Brady did what? Fuck yeah, Tom Brady!
Okay. I won't talk about Patriots season, but I will tell one quick story because for this entire football season, I had decided to boycott football
Oh wow, we were like synced up.
Yeah, we were pretty synced up on that one because it was ruining my life, and I kind of hate
Oh my
being a
God.
slave to my team losing and it just ruining my year. But eventually I got sucked in, and basically the only reason that I kept watching was because I had been deprived of the moment of watching a team win a championship while watching it with my dad.
You
Because
sound like
like all the Red Sox games, I was watching it elsewhere. In the earlier Patriots Super Bowls, I wasn't rooting for the Patriots. So
That's
I was
right.
fine. 2007, the perfect season, basically the worst moment. Like, me and my dad didn't even talk for a year. Not just to each other, like, at all. We didn't speak for a year because of how painful that was. So finally, I'm over there watching the game. There's this another amazing play that they're about to lose on this, like, freak play. And the devastation was back. My father was like cursing and
I can
screaming.
only imagine.
Oh my God, it was
Your
terrible.
father cursing and screaming. Because I just kind of let everyone know, Jeff's father has a reputation among everyone I would say that knows him on a children's sports level of just cursing and screaming like no one has ever done before.
Well, that
So
was back in the early 90s. He's gotten a lot
I
happier.
know, but I'm just picturing it, and I'm pi picturing both of you who curse and scream, and I'm picturing this tense moment, and I'm just like,
Well, it was him
where
cursing
does
and
it?
screaming, like, "Oh my God, he caught it! Goddamn son of a bitch!" Blah blah. And I'm just like sitting there, like biting my nails, trying not to move because I hadn't moved in 3 hours because
Of
that's what I
course,
do.
because you're superstitious.
So finally, like somehow, Malcolm Butler catches the interception to seal it for the Patriots. I jump up out of the couch. Oh my God, interception! And my brother's dog, my brother who inherited this dog from his newly, found wife who has a history of biting and viciousness
Oh no, a vicious dog.
jumps up off the couch and bites me right in the stomach.
Oh, at least, wow.
Now
What?
this is funny because I am the mailman
Exactly.
and I wasn't even delivering mail at the time.
No, they just know. Those motherfuckers know. You've told this to me many times. My dog hates you.
Yeah,
I mean, he
they
likes you
know.
now, but if he saw you now again, he'd be like, at first he would hate you like a viciousness because of, history. Everything he saw. But then eventually I think he'd be like, I like you, man. I remember you. And then he hates you because you're a mailman again.
Yes, well,
Then wait,
this
okay.
dog, it was crazy because this dog has met me like hundreds of times. She's like slept in my house. I babysat her, the dog, but she freaks out, jumps up, bites me like really bad bite. Basically, just ruined the entire Super Bowl winning mo moment for me. I have pictures. It was terrible. I thought I was going to go to the hospital.
Oh my God!
I thought I was going to leave a scar. It might still scar, actually. It like
I
bruised up
love
pretty
your
bad.
scars now.
Yeah, that's actually a point my dad made. He's like, "Oh, it'll match the scar on your arm."
Yeah. No, this is great. Okay, to fill people in case they are a first-time listener before we get to the fucking show, Jeff also fell through a window once. I'll say he fell through a window, although he was thrown through a window, because the mailman is also a douche and an asshole. Which I am too, but his tends to get him actually accosted, I would say, more often than not.
Well, I don't think that I got thrown through the window because I was an asshole. I think that
It's
I
well,
was
you were
standing up
also being a you were being a douche.
I don't see how I was being like you were there.
Yeah.
You like where how was it my fault that these people were treating us so badly? Were you supposed to take this kind of stuff?
I agree with the first part. The second one was, yeah, you just walk up. But I also see why you couldn't do that. But that's another show altogether, is the story of Jeff's other major scar now added on top of this fucking dog stomach. He bit you on the stomach. He was going for vital organs.
Long story short,
Wow.
there's something about watching sports that I just cannot enjoy. In that moment of pure bliss and ecstasy, it was ruined by this stupid bitch dog just biting the shit out of my stomach and tearing my flesh open. Which I don't know if all of you out there, if you've never been bitten by a dog, you might think, because my brother, who owns a dog, said the same thing, oh, he's just being a bitch about it. But it really hurts. It's like getting stabbed by multiple knives at the same time.
Yeah.
It's terrible, okay? It was bad, and it took me at least a half an hour to get over it. And then my dad rewind it on the DVR.
That's also great.
Let's go back in time.
Oh, my God.
This is live. And watch the end of the game.
Jeff, you were the first person I thought of when they won. Like, I went, oh, my God, Jeff finally got to see it because I knew that you weren't rooting for them the other time, which is, again, I mean, we're going to have to make a – like, if when Saul ends or if there's, like, a week off, we just need to go, like, let's explain Jeff to the general listening audience of this podcast because I feel like you kind of need backstory to understand any of what we've just talked about.
Yeah, probably. That's the whole point of entertaining, Josh. You got to leave him wanting more.
Oh, that's true.
You got to tease him.
Well, I'm sorry about that for you. I mean, I myself just didn't I just kind of swore off sports after the Red Sox season. And just because I started to go, what the fuck is the point of all of this? And then I went, oh, I can't even watch football because I have to work on Sundays. And Monday nights, I'll miss like half that game. So I'm not going to DVR it and watch a football game. That I just can't do that. It feels like...
It's so much better. You can watch a 3-hour game in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, but like I don't like to stay off. I want to live my life. I don't want to go, now I got to watch this football game. You know what I mean? It just feels weird because then you have to avoid like any social media. You have to avoid any news sites. Like you have to kind of like live out of time when you DVR a live event that you don't want to have spoiled.
Yeah, but you know? Clearly just don't want to watch. You're not really interested in sports anymore.
And no, that's true too. But either way, it was a weird experience watching all that and then kind of like looking on the outside, but kind of knowing what was happening from the experience of the social media part, you know, knowing the whole season, how it all went.
You were never a big football guy anyway. You're in basketball and baseball.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. I mean, I liked, there were many years where I loved watching football, but it, like, when it really came down to it, it was like, yeah, this is not needed.
You got your Steph Curry jersey this year or what?
A what?
You got your Steph Curry jersey?
I don't watch any sports. I don't know what's Steph Curry doing? he's playing basketball. Oh, yeah, good for him. Good for him. Is he on the Hornets? Is that why you're asking?
No, but he's on the Warriors, which is an equally cool kind of Josh-type team to root for.
That's true. Go Warriors, by the way. Steph Curry is just killing it.
You not watching basketball just depresses the shit out of me because,
I
mean,
haven't seen any of it.
We're talking like 12 years old, you and I establish a friendship talking about the NBA. Yeah. What do we even have in common anymore? Aside from the fact that we're watching Vince Gilligan shows.
We are watching Vince Gilligan. It's 23 minutes into the show. And if you're just tuning in to hear some hot commentary about Vince Gilligan's universe.
Richter in the Mountain, Better Call Saul podcast.
All right, so I think what you basically are saying is let's get down to business. Enough of the fucking small talk, right?
Well, I think we should do like a small talk Richter in the Mailman edition. And then, you know, Jeff Scar stories edition.
Conversation.
Yeah. But for all those Better Call Saul people out there who tweeted out and got linked to PTB Nation, and they're like, I want to hear Richard the Mailman's thoughts on Better Call Saul. Let's go. All
right. We got three episodes to cover, too, which is, you know, a really bad out the starting gate here, needing to cover three episodes and wasting 24 minutes.
Well, it's not necessarily bad, and I'll get to why when I have my big rant about Vince Gilligan at the end of this episode.
Stay tuned, Jeff Rants. So let's start off. Okay, so are you excited that this show exists? Were you excited going into the first episode?
I was very excited.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, it would – a lot of people that weren't necessarily big Breaking Bad fans, they were going to watch it because either they saw some episodes and they knew that Saul was funny. So they kind of figured it was going to be a comedy, which I didn't think it was going to be. And it's really not a comedy. I mean, it's funny because the character is funny. But it's really just a continuation of the Breaking Bad universe.
Exactly.
It's in New Mexico. It's in the same. It's the same characters in the same world, written by the same guy. So it's the same feel of a show, which is really kind of tense and, you know, psychological. And yeah, I was very excited because I love Saul and I love Bob Odenkirk. And that's why I like the show, because I like the character. And that's basically it. That's everybody that loved Breaking Bad. They love Walt. They love Jesse. And that is the number one reason why the show is so popular.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And you said a word, universe, and that's all I kept thinking since watching, like, starting the first episode. I went, oh, shit, we're just in the universe. And now anything's possible as far as filling in all the blanks, which is pretty much everything but a year and
yeah,
year and a half, however long that arc was. 2 years?
It was about
2 years. No, well, because he celebrated the second birthday.
Yeah, he fast forwarded. He was in.
Hold on, I've got a dog issue.
Oh my god! So yeah, it was 2 years because by the time he went out to the mountains, he stayed out in the mountains for like 10 months, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. So the whole thing took 2 years. We could have looked this up, and it'd be really awesome if I did.
We don't need to look things up. We should just recall stuff. It makes it sound more educational.
Well, I mean, with my short-term memory, and. Your short term. I mean, you have a really good memory, actually. But
yeah, I was like, what?
So do
I. What am I without my memory? I'm not.
So do I, but not for this. No, I agree. The whole idea of like it creating the universe and having all this time that you can just fill in to me has been like because I immediately started thinking of the possibilities, which was obviously you were given a huge one at the end of the episode where you're like, what the you know like. All of us. Oh, spoil! By the way, guys, here on in from this exact moment is spoiler alert. So if you don't know what that means, then you probably shouldn't be on the internet listening to things. As soon as you see Tuco, you go, "Holy shit!" Like we can have Hector in here somehow. Now you know we can see like another side to Hector. We can see interactions with Hank Schroeder. Like, anything's possible because now we're just in the universe of Breaking Bad in Albuquerque. Yeah. Like,
it's a relatively small community, so all these things are very believable.
Yeah, you're going to get so much overlap. And
I don't think we're going to see another side of Hector, though. That guy has one side.
That's true.
He has one side. He's a very, very evil man, and that's it.
That's true.
But maybe he'll make an appearance somehow.
Well, I hope to at least see him. You know, I don't necessarily need any more backstory, but I like kind of seeing that sort of thing. Although, I have to say, like, how do you feel about what they've touched upon so far? Three episodes. We're talking about the first three episodes. We kind of slacked. We didn't get to do the first week, so one and two are included here for anyone who's listening out there in Radio Land. No, but, I mean, first three episodes, what do you... So far... As far as the universe goes, what are you really digging? Like, what that they've shown?
I don't like to say that my favorite scene was the first scene, because that makes it sound like the rest of it was a letdown, but it's true. That first scene where he's working at Cinnabon in Nebraska, that's amazing. Because this whole series is going to be a prequel, and they start off with, like, the epilogue, which is amazing. Because it's like
we're going backwards now.
Yeah. So this is where he ends up. We all know what happened in that previous point with, you know, the meth and Walt and all that stuff. So we go all the way back in the past, and it's just cool to see. You kind of knew, all right, if they're gonna come out with a show about Saul, he is gonna be a sympathetic character. He's going to be a hero, quote unquote, and he's going to like go along to where he becomes the Saul that we all knew and love, which has no conscience, and he was hiring people to kill people and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you knew that the same vein of Walt, where he was just trying to help his family, there had to be something there. So we have this thing where he's just trying to make his brother proud, and his brother has like some sort of crazy mania going on.
Oh, I actually read that it's electromagnetic hypersensitivity or something like that, which it explains all the stuff with the phones and like the, like pretty much everything wearing the.
That okay, so when you say electromagnetic sensitivity, it's not that he's insane.
No, I mean he's insane. He's also okay. Insane. However, that's why he tells people to ground themselves when they walk in. For the, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Either way. Yeah, no, he's trying to do right by this guy who is possibly insane. Or possibly, you know, gonna blow up the world by his electric fingertips.
Is this?
I assume he's a mutant. I assume that they're implying that he's a mutant and there's going to be an X-Men crossover at some point, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, this is like an M. Night Shyamalan twist kind of show where he's actually a superhero.
The end of it, Vince Gilligan just comes on the screen and goes, Shyamalama!
What a twist.
What a twist! It's very weird because it's like going back to that, like starting with the epilogue, which I kind of... I think we're looking at it by saying epilogue, we're kind of like, I don't think it's going to stand to be an epilogue. I think they're going to go forward from it because I've gotten the implication. Like that first episode, I felt like someone's going to find him. Like he is freaked out about people finding him, and that's going to play into it. So they're jumping around. They're going to jump around throughout the entire narrative, I feel like, because Vince Gilligan can, because everybody is totally cool with like working with that guy, you know?
I don't think so.
They already said Jesse and Walt are going to be in there. So I feel like we could have Jesse after the fact. We could have – I'm just thinking, great. This is how I felt when I watched it and we got like plunge into this. I started going, we could have any of this except for the things that we know, like Mike died and Tuco died and stuff like that, you know.
But if he's already written the story – of Walt and Jesse, why would he bring him back? I felt like that was the only time he'll ever fall after those guys come into his life, because that's just what he's doing now. That's just his existence now. Is he working at Cinnamon's being worried about getting found forever?
Good point. So you're right. There might be nothing after. That's a very good point. Yeah. But it will be nice to see the time, other times that we didn't see in Breaking Bad of Walt, Jesse, and Mike and all and Saul. I think we will see that for sure because it plays into the entire storyline.
But we already saw
no
their important interactions with Saul.
but you remember on Breaking Bad, okay, about how like something like the stuff with the combo and the RV. Remember the combo RV?
Yeah.
Episode, and it kind of went back. There was one time that like they redid a scene, or they filled in some blanks in between when Jesse got the van and when Walt had told him to get a van. You know what I mean? Like I think that's what we're gonna see. We're gonna see little things that add a little bit more color to the entire picture and give it a little bit more definition. That's what I think Vince is doing with this universe thing. He's literally, it's like he's doing the Marvel universe except his own weird drug meth universe, like creepy Albuquerque, we'll call it. Fucking where there's fucking crack whores that suck your dick in the Crystal Palace and like crack heads smashing each other's heads in and slipping jimmies, pulling fucking scams.
What is a jimmy?
No, that was just him. He's Jim McGill.
Oh.
So it's slipping jimmy.
Oh, slipping Jimmy. I thought you said slipping Jimmy is like to slip a Jimmy.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
So there's no drug euphemism that is
No, I don't think so. I think they laid off that as they're going forward, except for whatever schedule, whatever drugs Tuco and his crew are selling.
All right, well, let's just put it – I would be interested to see like flashbacks involving Walt and Jesse and things of that nature. This could be like a friendly bet type of situation, like who's smarter, richer, or the mailman. I predict that we will never see any Walt or Jesse stuff until the end of the series.
Okay. End of the series? Are you saying Walt and Jesse?
I think the last episode of Better Call Saul will be when Saul meets Walt. And that's it.
But we already saw that.
Right. It'll be like, all right, now the story's over. It's like in The Sopranos when it fades to black because he gets killed. Well, he's dead, so there's no more show. So once Walt and Jesse come into the picture, then there's no more Better Call Saul. I think that that's where he's going to go with it. It's all going to be before. You got that one epilogue, and that's going to be it.
Well, I say, in the words of a very wise man, I'll take that bet.
You're on,
Cowboy. I'll take that bet. I mean, we'll discuss the terms later of the bet, but you know, off recorder, microphone. What do they call that? Off mic?
Yeah, sure.
We got to learn the terminology, man. If we're going to be off doing this, I don't know. Ugh. I'll tweet at like Angie Martinez and whoever at like all those famous stations. What do you guys call that? What? Scott Crisculo, he did radio.
Who's Angie Martinez?
Oh, she's a DJ. She's like a famous DJ. I see her show. I've actually never heard her, but I see all the time like stuff comes up on hip hop news that's like on Angie Martinez show.
I'm not a fan of female voices. Unless they're singing. I know that sounds sexist, but it really isn't. Just like women talking doesn't compute.
No, I mean it is jarring because I mean you're kind of like, you know, you're like, what, why are you doing this?
I mean, the only reason that we talk is to make fun of stuff, and you know
what can they make fun of?
Yeah, women are supposed to be like classy and dignified. It's actually the opposite of sexist. Like a woman sports announcer or color analyst, it's terrible. They should be talking about more important things. Only men can like talk about how a team isn't rebounding well enough. A woman doing it just sounds like gross. I don't know.
I'm not going to say I get what you're saying because I don't totally get what you're saying. And also, you've taken a very controversial stance that I want to make it clear. I do not align myself.
That's all right. I stick by it.
I know you do, and that's why I love you.
Stay tuned for future episodes for me to elaborate more and more on why I do not appreciate women talking on radio or television.
All right, stay tuned for that. Is this where we take a break? I think we should. It's about the halfway mark. All right, so what we do, we're going to come back, and then we're going to get into like what we liked about so far as far as the storyline that they're putting forth, like what we're seeing, and also how they're doing it, and some other thing I'll think of once we stop recording, and you know that time. So yeah, kicking it over to the bumper.
I was born a unicorn. I could have sworn you believed in me. Then how come all the other unicorns are dead?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Welcome back indeed. Hey, Jeff. If we were, if Justin Rosero, the chairman of the board, you know, was producing the show, I mean, you think he'd use that song, right?
Definitely.
Good. Yeah. Good. I mean, I just want him to like it, you know? I just want him to be like, oh, this is the best show on Place to Be Nation. We should, like, pay this guy money. Like, we should pay both these guys money.
We'll get the money.
I hope so. It's getting hard out here for a pimp or a fucking person that talks about nothing and produces nothing for 10 months at a time. Okay, well, yeah. And so let's really get into the meat of these episodes. So we had three so far. We had Uno, Mijo, and Nacho. So so far, you know, we're obviously embracing Albuquerque's, you know, New Mexican Spanish. Roots.
New Mexican roots.
Yeah. It's got roots there, you know.
Well, it's in New Mexico, so.
Well, it's how I picture Mexico to be in like 50 years. It's just, it's a bunch of Mexican words. And also everyone is like white or just like that kind of Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So basically every episode is going to be a Spanish word, probably referring to somebody's name.
Probably, yeah. Well, Uno is one. Mijo is, I believe, aunt. But it could be brother. I don't know.
I thought that's what Tuco's grandmother was calling him.
Oh, okay. That's a nephew then.
Grandson?
Oh, I'm on it. I'm on it. It's piss.
Piss?
It's that's what it says.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would his grandmother call him piss?
I went to, no, that's a Portuguese. I'm sorry. Wow.
Not as similar languages as you might think.
No, I mean, okay. So, deer and honey in Spanish, okay, is mijo.
There
that's
you go.
Deer and honey.
That is something a grandmother would call her grandson, not piss.
In Portuguese, it's piss.
Crazy.
Wow. Portuguese are crazy people. They're like, fuck you, Spanish people. We're going to just make your words worthless. No, so I loved all three. I'd say, I had some like issues with some of the episodes as far as, you know, like, the last one was really good, but at the same time, I felt myself losing interest in it a little bit. Like, I hated, I hate the Hamlin and McGill people. Like, I think they're boring, and any scene that they're in is, like, ultimately, like, I start losing interest there. Like, Odenkirk owns them, but, like, he's not a, Cranston who just commands so much attention that you're just, like, drawn in despite, you know, who, anyone could be there, you know, like, saying lines to him.
So well, that leads to the problem that I'm going to get to in a minute, because the Hamlin people are very similar to the Grey Matter people.
That's true. They are.
You have the, you know, the these people that are successful that are sort of making the main character of the show bitter, and yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
kind of like hokily played by the actors.
No, I completely agree with what you said there. That is yeah, it's the same. And it makes you wonder, is he doing it on purpose or is this just a weakness where it's kind of like, oh, these people will, oh, you'll always be shallow and just kind of evil, but also I don't know yet, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Gilligan is running into the same problems that Aaron Sorkin runs into. Aaron Sorkin's one of my favorite writers.
No, that's true.
But if you just YouTube Sorkinisms, then they just hop from show to show, the characters saying the exact same lines.
Yes.
And no, the plot's the same, and all the characters are the same, the subplot's the same. It's like,
it's true. The universe that these people make, they can sometimes have some repetition in them that gets a little boring.
Yeah. David E. Kelly, Ally McBeal, Boston Common, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Practice.
Now, as far as the Breaking Bad stuff that was in this, some of the things that struck me that I really liked. Okay, or no, you know what? No, I'm gonna tease you guys. We'll save that to the end. We'll talk about like strictly like, even though we've talked about the universe quite a bit so far, we'll just talk about that like really just flashpoints at the end. Do you like the fact that they're jumping around? That it is a continuation of the story, especially with how they were doing it at the end of Breaking Bad, with having that.
Yeah, the only reason why Better Call Saul's a series is because he was a character in Breaking Bad. So everybody wants to know how he relates to the shows that they've already seen.
Well, I think what I meant is, obviously we know they're working in the past, but what I'm saying is, do you think that we already kind of covered that. I'm going to cut that.
Do you think that they're going to incorporate future plots from Breaking Bad? No, I don't.
No.
I said that already.
You know, you always repeat yourself, and it's just, that's why, no, all right. I'm probably not cutting any of this. I'm probably going to put it all in there. Because why not? No. So as...
be like idiots.
You know
what, listener? You're an idiot too.
Now, I keep looking over my notes and I go, like, where do we even begin? Now, I know where we must begin. Because this is a part that's another part that's been getting to me that I'm like, I don't know if I should hate this or love this, but it's the Kettlemans. Mm-hmm. It's the Kettlemans and like everything that they are. Like somehow I'm to believe that this man, he embezzled all this money. Okay, he thought that was a good idea and then he did it, and his wife probably had a, you know, she did this with him because she seems like she's kind of like she's working it, okay? But yet, around their kids, they're singing the stupidest camp songs ever. John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Not even the good camp songs.
Oh my God! I mean, that song is you just keep repeating it over and over. It's stupid. Okay, they're the stick figure people. They have a stick figure of camping. Like, they're just, it's like they are stick figures, but yet I'm supposed to believe that this guy was smart enough to embezzle. Well, apparently he wasn't, because he got caught, like.
But did he embezzle it, or did he just cash it and put cash in a bag?
Right?
Which is my problem with this whole storyline, because is this really how criminals work? Because, all right, maybe we'll get this question answered in the next episode, but what was their plan after they got to the tent? Were they just going to sing songs in the tent for what, like a year, 2 years? How much food do they have in there? Did they have like macaroni and cheese and like little Tupperware containers? What was going to happen with that family? They faked their kidnapping to the entire nation. I don't understand. What was the plan there?
The plan was to wait there until Saul found them and it moved the plot along.
Exactly. Thank you.
I just went, a part of me was like, oh, it's awesome the way he's going after them. I like this. I like these visuals. I like the desperation that Saul is showing. You know, I like that he's being putting into this like situation where he feels he has to do this because of what's going on with Nacho, which we'll get to in a second. But at the same time, this is just stupid. So the family just said, "Grab, let's trash the house together as a family." I assume. Mm-hmm. I assume that the kids are in on this because the girl grabbed her doll. Like,
they didn't. Now think about when you were 12 years old. We were pretty smart at 12. Imagine your dad comes to you and says, "Hey, we have to leave. Go hang out in a tent for like a week. Take whatever you need, but first, let's make the house really messy.
We're gonna go crazy in the house. So we're gonna also, just
yeah. Also, ugh. When you were 12, you probably caught a glimpse of the newspaper, or the kids at school probably like would tell you if your dad was on the news, being accused of embezzling $1.6 million, right? I mean, he's 12. He's a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. It's not like they're like an infant. Maybe if they're an infant and they had some sort of in-law house, it would have made more sense. But it was kind of ridiculous the way they ended the third episode. I don't know.
No, I completely agree. Like, I actually, what's funny, you keep talking about this stuff, about like when you're 12 years old, because that's another thing I wrote down. That's weird for me. and, you know, is that there's so much stuff about court on this episode. Mm-hmm. Like court. And I went, oh, this is giving me bad vibes because I was in court so much when I was 12. Because my parents had a very messy divorce. It was like really crazy. And like my mom tried to put my dad in jail and I had to like testify and shit, you know, to like testify about times, like timing of stuff to get my dad out of jail. Like,
well, that's the problem.
And I'm watching this show and I'm going, oh, like this is just started freaking me out. I hate lawyers. I hate courts.
This is the problem with the show because they were just making stuff up based on stuff that they read when they should have people like you to come in for a live consultant and say this is what it was actually like for 12-year-olds.
No, they're capturing it though. They're capturing what court is like. Court is the worst place in the world.
Yeah,
it sucks so bad. And that's what I also wrote down here is that like basically what we're watching at this point is the world of lawyers. Because we're following Saul, and Saul is involved in every aspect of law, basically, that you can imagine. He's a lawyer now that we're seeing him, or now he's a wishes he was still a lawyer, but either way. So we're seeing him as a lawyer, but he also has a past, a criminal past, and he used to run scams that were based on the law system. And then we're just seeing all these lawyers. Like every single person in the show is just out. You're pretty much are like, is that person lying? They're all lying.
Yeah. It's sort of like a less authentic version of The Wire.
A little bit. No.
There's just lawyers everywhere.
It's lawyers. Yeah. No. But I mean, I that's what I kind of like about it is you literally at this point, you're like, well, who's cool? Who's not? Tuco's not cool, but is he always cool to Saul? Possibly.
Yeah.
Then he does meth, then he's just an asshole. But
that was another thing. The Tuco scene seemed not very Tuco-like. Is it because he wasn't doing meth at that time? And maybe he just went too far with the meth, and that's why he was all crazy
Sure he wasn't doing meth. Like, because basically when we see him for the first time, and then the second episode where you go into the house and everything like that, the whole time you're like, oh, he seems well-poised for Tuco. He seems, you know, like a... He's making a nice dinner.
Well, actually, he was always making a nice dinner. He made Hector some burritos.
Yeah, but that wasn't a really nice... I guess it was. I mean, like, you know, for what he was working with out there in the desert, that was pretty good. But I'm like, something's off about him. I'm like, and it's just... I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's because he's not doing meth like he was when we caught up to him.
Yeah. It was talking more violent. There was that scene when they're out in the desert, and Saul's trying to talk him out of killing the two skateboarders.
Yeah.
And he says, give him a black eye. And his friend says, his accomplice says, they've got a black eye. And he walks up to him all nice and slow. And he goes, stop helping. That was definitely a callback to the Breaking Bad scene.
Obviously.
Beats the shit out of his...
To death.
For no reason. Just because he said something. So it's like... A couple years ago, before he started doing all this meth, he would just say, stop helping.
He'd be witty.
Yeah.
Like, you got a mouth on you.
He's like, oh, like a judge.
Yeah. No, it was clear that, like, to me, it was like, well, Tuco, a few years ago, wasn't as unhinged because he wasn't doing meth. So he still was a psycho. Like, he liked breaking their legs. And he was still, like, unreasonable, being like, biznatch. It's like, biznatch isn't even a fucking word. And guess what? In that time, go forward, like, 3 or 4 years, nobody's going to say biznatch then. It's actually not going to be a word.
I don't know, man. Some punk calls my grandmother a biznatch. I'm probably breaking their legs.
I would go, A, my grandmother's dead. How dare you? All of them. They're all dead.
Well, that's dark.
I know. And then second, I go, biznatch? That word's dead, motherfucker. Like.
Yeah, that was a weird choice.
Like, nobody said.
How about biatch? Biatch would have been better.
I don't know if that was invented.
Yeah, what year was this taking place?
From what I've been seeing on the nets, I'm seeing it was 2001.
I think biatch was definitely invented by Snoop Dogg in like 1997.
No, yeah, no, it was. No, it was earlier than 1997. It was actually Snoop Dogg invented biatch in 1992.
92?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Better Call Saul is in 2002 is when it's set, like what we're seeing now. So.
All right. Do you remember the scene where his brother comes to check on him in prison?
Yes.
And he throws a giant cell phone into the thing.
Yes.
So what is the date of that scene? Because now we got Bob Odenkirk playing a range of like 20 years of...
And he's like the oldest comedian, like out of all the comedians that are old, Bob Odenkirk is like, he's looked old for like 20 years at this point. Like he's looked old since Mr. Show, you know, like he's always looked old. I'm trying to see, he's actually 53.
Yeah. So that scene where he's in jail, he's trying to play like a 20-something.
Yeah, probably at least, no, I wouldn't say a 20-something, but for, well, we don't know how old Saul is.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, we have to divide for Saul in order to get the, what they're going back. But either way, it's crazy. The first three episodes, like, that's my issue is that, like, they're throwing all this at you. So we're going way before, we're going in like what's a new present tense, which is 2002. We've already started at the end. It's very wacky.
Very wacky.
Very wacky.
But I like it because obviously Saul, you get the sense that he had a shot to be a good guy, and he cared about, you know, he cares about his brother. He's trying to do so. That's what I don't like. When we're watching a show and they're talking about stuff that you're not going to find out for like several episodes in the future, it's like, what are they talking about? He goes in and he's talking about, oh, Chuck did this and Chuck did that. And you don't know what he's talking about. You see what I'm saying? That's annoying to me because like they're forcing you to wait. It's like they're setting you up to be part of a soap opera.
That's true. That's a good point. And that kind of makes you go, well, what did we like about Breaking Bad? Well, I guess we liked that about Breaking Bad because we already saw everything, and they like only really did that in the last season. Like the full season was kind of set you up for that.
Yeah.
It
makes sense because it's working for me on Saul's characterization level, because on the one hand, he isn't the character that we knew in Breaking Bad yet. He isn't to that, you know, totally depraved level. But you still kind of see the natural twangs of it. Like when he's negotiating with Tuco, all right, now let's not kill them. Let's talk about a proportionary response. And he's like, he like bargains them down to break the guy's legs. That's great, because that's just like totally like psychopathic thing to be talking to a drug dealer about. But on the same time, I'm kind of just – here's the thing with these two shows, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Breaking Bad, like you said, it was five seasons long, but it was like what, a year?
And 2 years.
2 years, but from one episode to another, it was like 10 months. So it was a very short time frame.
Yeah.
And here's why. The entire – series of Breaking Bad was one episode. It was one really long ass episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was no breaks. There was no, this episode is about this. Like, if you watch The Sopranos, you can watch any episode of Sopranos and it's like its own movie. And yeah, it wraps up, like, there's a story arc and all that stuff. But Breaking Bad is just one long story arc. And I didn't get into it until it was almost over, and I was just watching the DVD, and it was great because it's like, all right, what's next? What's next? What's next? And they're doing the same thing with Saul. And this is why I'm getting a little frustrated, because you have these Kettlemans, and they're just such boring characters. They're exactly like Ted Beneke. Like, this guy just comes out of nowhere, nobody's actually like Ted Beneke. There are no Ted Benekes in the world.
There's none.
But
there's...
somehow the main character of the show's wife bangs him.
She fucks him.
She fucks him, yeah.
Yeah.
I fuck Ted. The greatest Ted. Episode title of all time.
Of all time.
But they go, oh, I don't know, Skylar, you know, I'm just trying to, I just got to buy my BMW. And the Kettlemans are the same way. Oh, do you really think we need a lawyer? We're just going to steal some money, put it in a duffel bag, and go to the tent.
And basically,
and they're never going to go away. This guy, Ted, did not go away, and the Kettlemans are not going to go away. They should just be a flash in the pan. And this is my problem with Vince Gilligan. He's making one giant episode, and he's using his development of the main character because we're going to fall in love with him. So I love Saul, so I'm going to keep watching because I want to stop Odenkirk. And he is going to just drag out one long plot for however long he wants to.
Yeah, the plot is Saul's life.
Exactly.
The plot is Saul's
life. But a very, very...
transformation. It's his continuing transformation that echoes Walter White's transformation. That's what we liked. We watched Walter White's transformation. He's doing it with Saul now.
But his transformation is taking place in like these very small spurts.
It's true.
So he has to fill out an hour episode, and that's why we have the stupid breakfast nook scenes with his family. Like, happy birthday, Walt. I put your bacon in smiley faces. It's just like wasting time. And he's doing the same thing with Saul. We're going to see all these totally like meaningless, needless scenes.
Well, that's what I see with the girl from Hamelin that he called and was doing like the P. Oh, don't worry, it's PG. Like, I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, your conversations are the breakfast.
Yeah, this is blonde chick.
You're the breakfast nook. You're talking.
He worked at this firm and he banged this blonde chick. So what? Like, what do we care about this blonde chick? But there's going to be a scene where we like flash back and there's going to be like this really interesting thing about this blonde chick that we're going to find out. And they're like, oh, they're really in love. I don't know.
And she's going to be paid. She's going to... Emmy nod.
It's like the same... It's the same exact formula that all the things that I hated about Breaking Bad are happening again. But I'm still going to watch.
Because you love it.
Walter White.
And he's good.
Jesse were incredible. And Saul and Chuck are incredible. And I just want to know what happens.
Saul and Chuck are incredible. I just want to like stop for 1 second and say that your thing about the Kettlemans was really funny because you made me go Ted Beneke running and slipping on the fucking carpet in front of Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And the other guy that I forgot his name, the guy who's still waiting in the hotel. That is the equivalent to, for me, the Kettlemans having the money in the bag. That's the same thing. Like
yeah,
it's that
wrestle with the
stupid
bag and then
fucking.
No one would. That would never happen in real life. Nobody would ever wrestle.
It is. It is so divorced from real life that it's like it makes the rest of the narrative. You go like this is stupid. I don't even fucking care about Walter White. Who the fuck is Walter White? Hope that guy dies. Good. go back and just be like fuck you. I'm like the Kettlemans, the fucking carpet.
Ah. But that's what we're going to deal with. That's the same kind of thing we're going to see. But I promise you right now, you will not see any flashes forward because all that stuff has already been told.
My notes?
The minute from Walter White and Saul getting together, you better call Saul, the speech in the chemistry room, that has all been told already. You will not see it again.
Oh, I cannot wait. We're going to work this out.
You heard it here first.
My notes, by the way, my notes after that I get from the chairman of the board, Justin Rosero, is going to say, talk less about the timeline. You're just bringing up the future so much. Are they going to be future? Josh, why'd you talk about this for so long?
Fine. Next time we'll talk about the future of the chairman of the board.
We'll
talk about Justin Rosero in 10 years.
Oh, that's a fun thing. It's a fun thing to think about. Where are we at? Nah, never mind. So I want to run through a couple of brief things that I'll just go yay or nay, essentially. Okay, so, well, actually,
yay
no.
Yay means yes, right?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Correct. What do you think of his defense of the kids in the first episode?
Well...
If you were in the jury, would you have like
No, because they had a videotape that no one would ever need to make a closing argument for that case. But let me ask you this.
And he didn't.
Let me ask you this. Is fucking a severed man's head gay?
No. If you're fucking a head, it's just a head.
At that point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're just having fun, you're just being drunk and sodomizing a head.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how.
Just having fun and being drunk and sodomizing a head.
Is this just something that the writers of the show came up with, or is this like a trend? Is this like a problem that I'm going to see on like 60 Minutes? Like kids sodomizing corpses?
No. It's not like the pegging that we learned about in Broad City, if you happen to watch that show.
Pegging? That's the thing.
That's in relationships when it's the ons. There's a lot. Apparently, there's a lot more strap-on dildo woman to man action happening now.
Ah,
it's called pegging.
Why is it called pegging?
Because you're like pegging them. You're like, you know, it's like
strap-on dildo. How could it be any way other than a woman to man? It's not like a man can put on a strap-on. He already has a dick.
It could be a woman to woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they kind of like trailblaze that whole thing, you know.
Well, if you just Google "women fucks guy with strap on," I'm sure you could see a lot of stuff there.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of material.
That's a lot.
I don't think that's new. I think it's just more acceptably talked about. I think there's been women banging guys with strap on for a very long time. And now it has a name. Pegging? No, I want to take down this name. Hashtag stop pegging. Hashtag not the act, the word. I think that is the calling for this show going forward.
Can I ask you, though, like, what should we call this not trend of sawing off severed heads and having sex with it? Deadheads? Being a deadhead? I mean, that's the obvious one, right?
Heading?
I mean, heading good. I mean,
head banging?
Head banging is awesome.
I mean, we already have head banging.
You sold me. No, I like this head banging more.
I just changed the spelling of head.
No, don't even change it. Take it from the metalheads. I love metalheads, and I am one, and I headbang all the time. But if it's taken by people who like to bang heads, like in a sexual way with like dead things, I think dead banging, you call it dead banging. I guess that's just all of
that'd be cool if it got to a point where in morgues they had actual like official print around the equipment, like beware of headbangers, please secure all locks of coolers to prevent headbanging.
that'd be great. I would like that. I would like to know that those are in place at morgue so that one day my head isn't. My thing is, I didn't get to see the video, so I don't know if they were doing it in the mouth or if they were doing it in the neck hole. And that whole time, I just kept thinking, so which were they doing? Because like one is like way worse than the other.
It had to be the neck hole. Because you could put it in the mouth at any time. So you cut off the head and you just start like putting it on, like you're putting it on like a.
But these kids were not like smart. Spike. They were near honor students, all of them.
I think it was definitely a neck hole.
I hope so. That's what I hope the whole time.
If it was the mouth, they could have done a discreet shot from behind with the guy just like putting the head up and down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So your answer on that is yay, right?
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, so Mike in the booth.
Why is Mike Hermantrout working the toll booth?
Well, we're going to find out. That's the waiting.
Do you think he's already Gus's number one man at this point?
No. His number one man is Nacho.
What?
Nacho is going to be his number one man. He's going to do things for him.
No, I'm talking about Mike. Do you think Mike already works for Gus?
No, I don't think so. Are you kidding me?
You think that he meets Saul.
I think
then he meets Gus. Then he becomes the head of Gus's entire
operation.
I think we don't know about Mike's like criminal past, like about being like taken in or not. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe someone will correct me with this and tell me like, oh, they said that, you know, this crime that he served or blah, blah, blah. But as far as I can tell, from what I'm thinking is he's actually got out of the police force for whatever reason, which we never found out so far. But hopefully we do. And he got a job doing jobs like this, which is essentially security.
I thought that in the episode of Breaking Bad, when he talked about the guy who beat his wife and then he killed him.
Half Measures?
Right, Half Measures. I thought that he basically implied that he quit the police force and became like a private detective slash mercenary because he hated working for the system.
I don't remember the exact speech, obviously. It's like one of the biggest ones that he's had, but well, I'll have to check that before the next episode of this show. But I don't I mean, even if he had said, like, I did this, for all we know, he did that. He became a mercenary. He got caught. He went to jail or served some time, got out, and is now, like, this is his way of being on, like, the, you know, working a booth. This is a job that he could get. Or this could be in between the private. We're going to find out. But yeah. Do you like this expansion of his character, though, where, like, he's still being a stickler?
Yeah, it's totally a Mike thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's in line with that character.
He basically, he sort of like has no principles, but has strict principles at the same time.
Exactly. Honor among thieves, I think, would be like the saying that best describes Mike.
Yeah.
Which we probably said, if someone on the PTB team could do the research on that, if I said that in a past episode, that'd be great. I would love to find that out. I also love that he, like, at the end, he basically, like, kind of, you know, he just, it's like he took pity on Saul, but he also went along with, like, I think you're right, I think, you know, and it's almost like he can't turn away from that.
Yeah, he's old and grizzled, he's seen a lot of shit. He's very well versed, and you know he knows a lot. He knows what he's doing, so he has like his own moral code where it's right because he thinks it's right. So if he can keep like snotty lawyers out of getting out of their validation, then so be it. But he'll also like kill a guy who's beating his wife, and he's not gonna like let somebody go to jail because that would be counterproductive to the. You know, outcome of a particularly important case.
Yeah. Now, let me ask this, though. When he told the story about on the case, like an old case he had, did it make you think that perhaps one thing they left out about his character was he was always going into these stories about, like, I had this case one time. Like, is that, like, actually a character flaw in Mike that he's always going off of? He's always getting into it about these fucking cases he had?
Well, yeah, that's... It's another, you know, quirk about Vince Gilligan. Nobody actually does that. Nobody actually says, I know you're right because in 1987 I had this case where there was a bookie.
Well, I would do that, but I do that all the time anyway. I do that all the time anyway. I get off into a random story and, like, over-explanation about why I'm doing something where I think something. My point is, are we finding out that Mike is annoying like me?
Yes.
That is sad, because I'm an annoying person with like my sad stories that I'm always telling.
You gotta stop telling so many stories. So does Mike.
All right. Well, what else we got here, Jeff? What else could we possibly talk about this wonderful show known as Better Call Saul?
The only thing I'll say is that I am really sad that those skateboarder guys didn't die because I hated them.
I was actually, a part of me was started to go, are these guys going to be like the lone gunmen of X-Files? You know, like, because Vince Gilligan wrote for X-Files and they had like those characters, the lone gunman who were like a, you know, conspiracy theorists type of characters, and they were kind of similar in that they were like twins. So I was like, is he doing this? I'm like, oh no, they're gone. They're out of the picture. Like I was at, which I was so happy because even if Tuco wasn't on meth, if you saw that guy, and I might be racist in saying this, I don't know.
Probably. So
people got to tell me if I'm racist. I don't know if I actually am or not, you know, based on my actual statements. But if I saw if I went up to that door and I saw Tuco and I went in and all this was happening, I would not start calling her a biznatch, even though that word is stupid to begin with and silly, or start to tell him that she needs to pay up.
So you're just assuming that any time that you went into a house with a Hispanic man, that he's probably dangerous.
No, I'm just thinking that guy was way bigger than both of those guys combined. And they started...
He's like, actually shorter.
No, but I mean like bulk-wise.
But he's... if you're not tall, so you don't know what it's like, but...
Yeah, tall people, what's that like?
Tall people, they feel bigger. Even if this shorter person is bulkier... You're still you have like reach advantage,
but one punch with like his shoulder behind it from that guy could just break their bones.
I don't know about that.
I swear, the science is in on that. I don't know. I was just like, I wouldn't fuck around with this dude. Like, I just wouldn't come in here. I'd probably try to keep the scam going, but once it got like, you know, like he started pushing back a little bit. There's no way that I would start like getting even more aggressive and in his face.
Well, they're also criminals, so
but you don't really know what stupid. That's like. That was the problem with those guys. They were the worst criminals. Like
they think that they are ballsy, which most criminals do.
Yeah. I can't wait till we get to the real ones. That's why I'm glad about Nacho. Like Nacho's really good. He's like almost like Crazy 8 seems smart. It's almost like it's like Crazy 8.
Yeah, he's like smarter than Crazy 8. He's like, yeah. Crazy 8 plus.
Yeah,
he's like Crazy 8's cool older brother.
Yeah. These low level guys, they're no Gus. Alright, so yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about the first three episodes? We've actually kept it to a minimum for these, so that's pretty good. Where?
No, I hope that episode 4 opens up with the Kettlemans getting killed, but it's probably not going to happen. So it's probably going to take the money, and then they're going to be just like these annoying sort of extortionary characters for a while.
As long as they have the kids like involved in the extortion, I'm down with this. Because fuck those kids, fuck her doll.
Fucking camp songs, man.
Fuck their camp songs.
Is there anything less gangster
fuck the stick
than
figures of the fuck the team? Kettleman voice answering machine message, like where they say their names.
Although I liked the voice disguise mechanism. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna start like freaking out a bunch of people.
Yeah, that looks like it worked.
They got payphones back then. I don't know.
That's true. It might work differently on a cell phone now.
Yeah,
that's a good point there, Jeff. So yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. We gotta talk about the next one is called Hero. Heroic, so which is you know, obviously referencing this particular episode where he mentioned not doing anything not non-heroics. So apparently you know, he is a hero, that Saul Goodman, and he is to be respected as such.
If you were going to change your name, do you think you would change it to Saul?
Myself, I mean, yeah.
Saul Richer.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always better. What I've learned in life post 1945, it's just really works out to have a Jewish name. It just, like, I mean, anytime before that, you know, like, people were kind of like, you know, like it basically took a Holocaust to like make everyone go, I'm not gonna fuck with these people anymore.
I gotta say, I got a lot of resentment toward the Jews because it was Jewish humor that caused me to lose a friend, a dear friend, actually. Maybe someday we can get him on this show. We can all have a therapy.
That's very true. I had to go through my head. I'm like, is he talking about me? Is he talking about which friend is he talking about? And then I remembered which and the insult that happened.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, our feud was always over naming rights only.
I know. Well, you know
what? We'll settle that in court.
Yeah, we will. God knows I love court. You may have come to the court, but I was born in it.
You're like the bane of child abuse.
I am. I laugh, but it was painful. But hopefully we don't see any of that on Saul. So, not like Breaking Bad with that fucking, you know, boo. The horrible child abuse, like answer to Monsters, Inc. character boo.
Right.
All right. Well, sir, I gotta say, this has been fun. We will be back next week. Same time, same place. We're gonna talk about next episode of Breaking Bad. We'll probably, open up a few more of Jeff's scars and, really get in there. Some salt and lemon juice. And
yeah, we'll put up a poll. Which scar is your favorite?
I'm going with the emotional ones, my friend. I will always say the fish hook through the foot is my favorite scar of all time.
That was a good one.
And it's especially poignant because of what you've discussed early on the top of the show with your father and your experience. Oh, that's a teaser.
I think my dad's going to become a recurring character on this episode.
Well, you know what? It worked for the Sports Lounge, so I figured we try that out here. You know, maybe we get your dad on one day. We can.
Whoa, is the Sports Lounge still on? I haven't been invited back since the World Cup.
I have no idea.
They just saw me as a one-trick pony.
You're probably going to have to listen to the episode and go back to the break in the middle where we're not talking, and then hear who's on. Because I think there's like a couple sports shows now. I mean, you've got the original Place to Be. You've got another wrestling show. You've got another wrestling show. I think there's another one. I mean, it's a big umbrella, you know?
Big umbrella.
Yeah. But so what I mean is, you guys should tune in every week to all of your favorite Place to Be Nation shows and support us by going on Amazon and clicking on the Amazon link on the bottom of the page, buying whatever you want to buy from Amazon. I don't care if it's tampons or books or CDs that contain books on them or whatever it is you kids are into these days. And buy it through that link so, you know, you can support Place to Be Nation and so shows like the Sports Lounge can continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good place to buy tampons.
You can get the best deals. You can get the best deals.
That's weird that that's the first three things that came to your head is tampons, books, and CDs.
With books on them.
With books on them. Yeah.
It's not really the first thing that comes to my head. It's just whatever I can kind of wade through, like in my head, as if they're all coming at me. I'm just like, oh, there's one. There's one too. I mean, there's a shit ton that flew by me. I thought dildos that came right after tampons, for obvious reasons. But you know,
I would have said swords, boots, and basketballs.
That is a party. Not a Nashville party, though, like our like the song we're using to see us out. So I'm Josh Richer, and he's the mailman. So see us next week for Better Call Saul. I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream I could.
start again. Welcome to the land of fame access. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play my song. The butterflies fly away. Nodding in my head like yeah. Moving my hips like yeah. Got my hands up to play my song. You know I'm gonna be okay. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Get to the club in my taxi cab. Everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girl.